AI. We're like, what if AI just like evolves too much and like starts taking our jobs? Like, what if AI starts doing art? Like, what are we gonna do? Also, like the economy, we're like, what if the economy collapses? Like, what are we gonna do then?
What I think, what Alex just said, the thing that struck me was the concern about AI. The idea that it's not just the economy that could affect your employability, but computers could affect it. Now to think that it could actually affect your career, I had never even considered that till this moment. That's amazing.
My name is Linda Laurel, and I'm asking you to have the courage to listen with an open mind to all of our voices, because our voices matter. Hi, everybody. It's Linda Laurel, and this is Our Voices Matter Across the Generations. Thanks so much for joining us for this special series that we have launched, focusing on human connection across the generations. I decided to do this after having a series of conversations with my daughter, Lindsay, who's 28 and back here in Houston for a bit. And I'm getting to spend a lot of time with her, and it's been eye-opening to listen to her point of view about the world that we live in and the concerns that she has and the hopes and dreams that she has. And I was struck by how different things are for people who are of her generation. She's a millennial. And then those younger Gen Z, what it's like for them to live in today's world and plan for their futures. So I decided it would be great to focus on their perspectives. And today we actually have a mom and daughter who are sharing some really wonderful insights with us. Karen Walrond is actually appearing for the second time on Our Voices Matter. And with her is her daughter, Alex Jennings. Karen is an author, activist, speaker, leadership coach, photographer, attorney, engineer. She's clearly a slacker. And her daughter, Alex, is 18 years old and is in the middle of her freshman year at the Art Institute of Chicago. We had a fascinating conversation, one that I hope you will enjoy as much as I did. Here we go. Okay, Karen and Alex, it is such a pleasure to welcome you to Our Voices Matter Across the Generations. Thank you so much for joining us.
Happy to be here.
Yeah, we're thrilled.
Yeah. I'm so happy to see the two of you sitting next to each other and able to talk, because Alex, you are home in Houston visiting from college. So I want you to tell our audience where you're in school, what you're studying, and just what's going on in your life right now.
So I am studying at the School of the Art Institute, Chicago. My major right now is visual communications design, so sort of like graphic design, and I'm really enjoying it. It's my freshman year, so I'm getting all adjusted to a new big city, and I'm just really loving it so far.
Do you like Chicago?
Yes, love it. Beautiful city. Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it is. It's my hometown, so I'm totally biased, but that's another story. And I know your mom is enjoying visiting you there, because Karen, your posts on Instagram when you were moving Alex in were just too precious.
Oh, yeah. It's fun to visit for certain months of the year. I've already told her she won't see me again till April or May.
Very smart. Yes, it's very cold. It's not Houston weather. It is
not at all. My tropical blood can't deal with it very well. But but yeah, I always say it's for those months that it's beautiful, that the weather's beautiful. It's the most beautiful city in the country.
It really is. It's such a beautiful city. And so, Karen, you are familiar to the Our Voices Matter audience, mm-hmm. because you have been on the podcast before. But just to remind people, I'm just going to go through it very quickly, because you're an author, you're an activist, you're a photographer, you are a speaker, you're a leadership coach. And before all of that, you were an attorney and still are an attorney and an engineer. So my goodness.
I'm busy.
Yes, you're busy. So, and I know you have a new book coming out, and I think that your new book is related to what your word of the year is.
It is.
Tell us what that is.
Yes. Well, I mean, I'm so excited about this book. It's called Radiant Rebellion. Mm-hmm. Reclaim Aging, Practice Joy, and Raise a Little Hell. It doesn't come out till October, so I've still got about 9 months before it comes. My word of the year is rebel. I'm so excited. It's a great book, not the least of which is you were part of the book, and your story is part of the book as well. So I'm really excited. It's all about how getting older is not something to fear. It's something that's actually really exciting and evolutionary, hopefully. And, mm-hmm. And that, you know, sort of a reminder that we start aging from the moment we're born. And so there's no reason to suddenly get worried about it. It's just a natural part of living. It is living. So,
yeah.
So that's what it is.
I am so excited. I can't wait to read it, and truly honored that you interviewed me for the book. So thank you for that.
Of course.
You know, when you think about aging and the future and, you know, what it all looks like, when I look at our world today and I think about how I would navigate this if I were your age, Alex, I think it would be very difficult. I just don't know how I would do it. So when you think about your future, Alex, what three words would you say come to mind? What do you think about?
Oh, gosh. Probably impact is one of them. Colorful, mm-hmm. and inspiring, or inspiration, hopefully.
Impact, yeah. Colorful, and inspiring or inspirational. I love that. And the impact is the first one that came to mind, which I think is very indicative of your generation. It's all about impact. And what do you think drives that? Because that's not what my answer would have been you're 18, 18, 19,
yes. 18.
Okay. So when I was 18, I don't think my answer would have been impact. So I think that is probably driven by, I would guess, kind of what's going on in the world today. Can you share with me why that is an answer for you and your generation?
Yeah, absolutely. So I think impact would be my word, because I have seen a lot of really negative stuff happen in the world in the past few years. Something that comes to mind for me is in 2020, like the murder of George Floyd. That was something that really hit me hard. And I was very upset with the world. I was angry at the world. I wanted to make a difference. Like, I wanted to make a change. And I was like, this is what I'm going to do. Like, I'm going to, like, hopefully in my future, like, I want to dedicate my future to making an impact on the world, to sort of make it a better place, mm-hmm. or at least try to mm-hmm. in some way. Mm-hmm. And so it's actually kind of funny. I'm studying visual communications because my goal in the future is to open a art and design sort of, agency mm-hmm. That helps people that are like companies that are underprivileged or trying to make a change in the world. Mm-hmm. I'm not quite sure about the logistics of that yet, but I'm going to figure it out as time goes. And yeah, I think that's why my word would probably be impact.
I love that you're thinking that way already. And Karen, that must make you awfully proud. And I'm wondering, you mentioned the George Floyd situation. What kind of conversations did the two of you have about that?
Wow.
Did you reach out to your mom to talk about it? Or how did that go?
I will say that if I may, you know, while all that was happening, I was also writing a book on activism. Mm-hmm. And so I think we just had a lot of conversations about what does activism look like? Because if you remember, there was huge protests and marches that were happening around that time as well. And so, it was just kind of part of our daily conversations. I don't remember specifically talking about George Floyd, but that, mm-hmm. I mean, 2020, you know, the pandemic started, Rihanna was happening. Like, yeah. So there was so many things that were happening. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I can't remember a specific one about that one as much as it was just part of.
Just part of the overall narrative of what was going on in the world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. And so do you remember, Karen, what you said to Alex to try and help her synthesize and make sense of what was going on and how she could move through it and not let it become something that drags you down. Do you remember, either one of you, what that conversation might have been like? Because yeah. I think that there that, you know, today's young people have so much to, you know, to grasp and to try to understand that it can lead to a lot of anxiety. So Alex, mm-hmm. do you remember what your mom said to you to make you feel maybe a little better?
I do remember having a lot of anxiety around that time because I was like, what if something happens to me? And I remember my mom just sort of telling me, she was like the world is like a messed up place. And, you know, like sort of like I think you told me like every generation has been sort of like, okay, it's your generation's like problem to fix, like all this stuff, like it keeps going down the line. But I remember she told me, she was like, I've seen a spark in your generation that's so different mm-hmm. from mine or your grandparents or them before. And that I remember her telling me that like she has a lot of faith in our generation. And I think that made me feel better because I've seen it a lot too, like within my peers, like people are like advocating for change and like making change happen. And I think that's something that kept me like less anxious through such a time of discourse.
Yeah, I think, you know, and I think you and I actually, Linda, sort of talked about this the last time we met, that mm-hmm. We had had a conversation with my parents and Alex's cousins about what were the things that we were really worried about when we were their age, right? And so I think my parents were talking about the possibility of being like having to go to war, like having to be soldiers or anything else. And then for my generation, which is squarely Gen X, it was all about nuclear war, right? Like that was the really big thing that we were worried about back then, that, you know, the USSR at the time, mm-hmm. instead of Russia, mm-hmm. was going to do something, you know, or there was going to be some sort of misunderstanding between the West and USSR that would cause the world to end. And then Alex and her cousins were saying that they really worried a lot about school shootings, and they worried about the environment. And the conversation then that we talked about was that historically people have sort of stepped up and change has happened. And that while it feels unfair to ask her generation to be this solver of all of the problems, at some point, usually people sort of somebody clicks on how we can really make a change in this world. And so that, given the fact that her generation is so much more switched on, I think, when it comes to activism and mm-hmm. that kind of thing than mine was, for sure, maybe not my parents, but for Gen X, for sure, that I had some faith that something would help. So in that case, we were really talking about the environment. We weren't talking about George Floyd and that thing, but you know, like it was all, it's all happening.
It's all related.
Right? Like, there's so much happening. Yeah.
It's all related. Do you feel it's unfair, Alex, that our generations are depending on yours to fix everything? Do you feel as though we have failed you?
I wouldn't say failed.
Because I'm sitting here probably. maybe I should leave the room so she can give you an honest answer.
No.
I mean the generic we, meaning older people, you know, who've been in positions of power over these last many years.
I would say that it's a lot of pressure for sure. But I think there are, I don't know quite how to describe this, but I think there are some problems that are surfacing now in like today's age that people in sort of older generations can't quite fix or like don't know how to solve. And so I think it's fair to put some sort of pressure on our generation mm-hmm. to come up with new ideas. But yeah, I wouldn't say like it's been like we've been totally failed, but that's, yeah.
Yeah, but you definitely feel that there's something there, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, there's lots to do. So aside from the typical kinds of things that college kids talk about these days, what is on your minds? I mean, when you guys are getting together and talking about your future and what you want it to look like. What do you talk about and what kinds of concerns do you have? And I'm still kind of, you know, talking a little bit about what we've already discussed, but I'm wondering if there's any, if there's anything else you can add to that. Are there any other topics? You mentioned anxiety. And I know that young people today are talking a lot more openly about anxiety and mental health in general. So I'm curious to know, you know, what your thoughts are on that, and if there are any other topics that you guys are, that are really at the forefront of your consciousness.
I think that sort of in my friend group, mental health is really important. We talk about it pretty openly. And I think that's something that people in my generation also talk about openly. So I think, yes, that's definitely something that we talk about a lot. And then also, we do talk a lot about our future and sort of what we want to do. I do go to an art school. So our future is sort of like, kind of everywhere at this point. Nobody really knows what they want to do.
And you're a freshman too. So you're still, you're still searching.
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. But there's also a lot of anxiety around our future, like about what we want to do in the future. Mm-hmm. So especially like, this is kind of interesting, but like AI, we're like, what if AI just like evolves too much and like starts taking our jobs? Like, what if AI starts doing art? Like, what are we going to do?
That's interesting.
And so it's just like things like that. Like, science is developing so rapidly and so fast. Like, that's just something that's definitely on our minds. And also like the economy, we're like, what if the economy collapses? Like, what are we going to do then? And like, definitely the environment. Like, I know something that my friends and I talk about a lot is like, do we want to bring a new generation into this world if the environment is like just headed downhill? Like, that's not fair on them if we do that.
That's so interesting. And as you say, very indicative of the world that we're living in today. I've had conversations with other moms of children your age and even a little bit older who have said that their daughters are saying at this point in their lives, in their mid-20s, late-20s, that they don't want to have children mm-hmm. for the very reason that you just said, that they're concerned about what the world will look like and why would you bring someone into this when things look so chaotic and, you know, bleak at this point. Karen, what are your thoughts about that? I mean, that's a pretty heavy thing for somebody at this young age to even be considering. I know I wasn't at 18.
No, for sure. And what Alex just said, the thing that struck me was the concern about AI. Like, I don't know that I ever even considered, well, certainly it didn't exist when I was her age, right? Like, there wasn't really anything that existed for that. But the idea that it's not just the economy that could affect your employability, but computers could affect it. You know, when I was her age, computers were what helped you. You know, like, learning computers, what helped your career. Like, if you knew anything, like, now to think that it could actually affect your career, I had never even considered that till this moment. That's amazing.
Yeah, it is amazing. And then when you think about this whole NFT craze, you know, which I still don't get.
I don't
get it. Alex, can you explain that to us old folks?
I can't say that I understand it either.
That's actually encouraging. She doesn't know.
You don't know either. Oh my gosh, that's funny. That's really funny. So, Alex, if you could think of one thing that you would like to shout from the rooftops so that people of our generations, older generations, would understand about your generation that you think is this huge misconception. And it's like, people, let me tell you the real truth here. What would that be? So what's the biggest misconception, I guess, is really the question about Gen Z and millennials?
I think that we're all always on our phones.
They're always on their phones.
But like,
and that's a misconception, is it?
Okay. Keep going, Alex. We'll stop.
I mean, like, we're always on our phones and it's like sort of rotting our brain, I guess. Mm. I think a lot, like I am on my phone a lot. I love my phone. but I think I spend a lot of time on my phone because I'm like sort of almost doing research, I guess. I'm always getting exposed to new things. Because the internet at this point is so big and expansive, there's like always things for you to learn and things for you to do. And I think that's why I'm on my phone a lot. And I think that's why a lot of other people in my generation are on their phone a lot. And people are like, oh my gosh, you're going to rot your brain out. Like if you're watching too much TikTok, like your eyes are going to fall out of your head or something. And I'm like, no, I mean, like sometimes I watch little silly videos, but sometimes I'm learning more about social justice and like how I can impact the world and like sort of like what the economy's doing and like how like you can like how people my age can learn to adapt and like what we need to do. And like I've gotten a lot of good financial advice from TikTok too and like Instagram and social media, which is interesting. But
yeah, I mean, you know, to Alex's point, I mean, you saw me make a face, but I have to say that I'm really impressed with sort of the art that I see that's being created online and a lot of social media. The activism in the TikTok space is amazing. Like a lot of young activists are doing some really powerful mobilization, on TikTok. And so, I mean, I take her point, you know, I do tease her a lot about being on her phone all the time and, TikTok dances, but she does make a good point that it is a tool, and it's a tool that is doing things in ways that I don't know that I fully, I get glimpses of the power of it, but I don't know because I'm not on TikTok and I don't do some of the social media platforms that Alex does that I don't get. I think that's true.
Yeah. And so we might not understand the, you know, what's really going on there, that it's not just about entertainment, but it's also about education. And it's also about learning. And so we can't just automatically assume that just because you're on your phone that, you know, you're simply just texting your friends or doing something irresponsible. Yeah. I'm curious about where you get your news, Alex. Do you watch local news? Do you watch national news on TV or what is your news source?
Honestly, I follow a lot of news stations or like local news stations on Instagram. And so I'll get like snippets of the news. Like if I'm scrolling, like checking on what my friends are doing, I'll see like ABC 13 pop up or NBC pop
NBC,
up.
That's a good one. Yeah. NBC Houston would be a good one to say.
It's okay. It's really okay.
And yeah. And so I just get little snippets of the news, like things that are happening locally or like nationally sometimes. It's good for Chicago too, because they'll be scrolling. They'll be like, oh, the red line's down for today. And I'm like, good to know.
I always am interested in what people, how people, young people answer that question. I asked my daughter, so my daughter's 28, and I asked her that question. And she's like, honestly, Mom, I don't watch the news. You know, she does not follow any of the local news stations, even on Instagram or whatever, but she will, she said that she has news sources that she uses on the internet. And I said, can you share with me what those are? And she's like, no, no, I won't tell you.
Well, I mean, it's a loaded question coming from you.
It is. I know. And she was trying not, you know, I can't wait for you to see the episode I did with her. She's like, Mom, I told you all the things I didn't want to talk about. And that's all we talked about. So, like, I'm in hot water with her. But I think it's really interesting to, you know, to just know how you are choosing your news sources, because a lot of the disconnect that is happening in our world today is because we have alternative facts, and there really is no such thing as an alternative fact. Okay. But that has become part of our culture. And so I think it's worth looking at and exploring how and where we get our information. And so I'm always curious about how people of your generation are staying abreast of what's going on in the world, because I know you are, because again, your first word was impact, you know, and the reason that you want to have that impact is because you are abreast of what's going on in the world and you want to make it better. And I think that's amazing. as we start to wrap it up, I want to go to one of the signature questions that we always ask on the podcast. And when I interviewed your mom, Alex, I asked her this question about to share with us a time in her life when she felt like the other. For whatever reason, we're all somebody's other, whether it's, you know, our ethnicity, our gender, you know, whatever. And your mom shared a story about moving to the Houston area when she was 11, 12 years old, and feeling like the other because she didn't fit in. So I want to know, first of all, Karen, have you ever shared that story with Alex? And if you have, what did you say, and what were the lessons that you wanted her to take away from it? And then Alex, I want to know what your response was. And then I've got another question for you.
I mean, I suspect that if I did tell you that story, it was sort of to, as a way in to so that she understood that everybody goes through times when they don't fit in. Mm-hmm. And the importance of sort of being who you are anyway. And as Brené Brown is a friend of mine, and she talks about the distinction between fitting in and belonging, and right. how belonging to yourself first is how you manage that. So I suspect if I did tell you that story, it probably had something to do with maybe something that was going on in your life and sort of imparting that lesson. I don't know if that's right or not.
Do you recall, Alex, when yes. and why she told you that story?
I can't tell you why, but I remember when. I was pretty young. I think I was about like 8 or 9. Mm-hmm. And we were on our way to school. I remember this. But I could not tell you why she told me the story. It was, mm-hmm. it was definitely something that was going on, but like in my yeah. life at the time.
A lot of lessons happened on the way to school. That's true.
Hey, that's when the magic happens, you know, on those rides to and from school every day. Yeah. Yeah. So Alex, do you remember when you first felt like the other, when you were made to feel like you just did not belong for whatever reason? Do you remember? Or can you share a time that really stands out in your mind?
Yes. So when I was in middle school, I guess about this was through sixth and seventh grade. I went through a bit of an emo phase. I'm sure my mom remembers this vividly. She had to put up with it. But I would dress in all black, and like, I would like listen to all this like hard rock music. And like, I thought I was like super edgy and cool. And then I like kind of looked around and looked at all my peers, and I was like, I feel a little different than everybody else, but not in a good way. And, that was definitely one time. But then I realized after that, like sort of after my emo phase was, I guess like eighth grade, like going into eighth grade, that was when I sort of really felt like the other, because coming out of my emo phase, I went to a predominantly white school. And I really hadn't thought much about it until like after I was coming out of my emo phase, because that like sort of separated me already. And then once I was separated, then I really started realizing that I was a little bit different. and that sort of made me feel a little bit alienated for a little while. And I guess that was when I started feeling like the other. It was like eighth grade, and mm-hmm. I felt very different because I realized people couldn't relate to like the struggles of like having natural hair and like in Texas humidity and like what that does, and like being treated different than all of my white friends, like getting, like going out to hang out with them, I couldn't do certain things that they could. Like I couldn't go into a store with like a backpack on after school, and like it was just like, it was a weird time for me.
What did you learn from that? And what would you say is the central lesson that you took away from that experience that helps you show up the way that you do now in the world?
I think it taught me, sort of awareness of my surroundings and awareness of the people that I spend my time with. Mm-hmm. And I think that has, like, that's been good for me. And like in college life for sure. I'm very aware of who I'm around, who I choose to spend my time with, and like what it means to be Black in a predominantly white space, because again, I'm going to a predominantly white college. And I think that like just sort of having that in the back of my mind has impacted me a lot in college and, you know, kind of going through life, and probably will continue to impact me throughout mm-hmm. life.
Can I add something though, that please, just from my please observation do, is one of the things that Alex does really well is I think it has given you a lot of empathy also yes, for others. She is somebody who she extends generosity to people, I think, easier than I do. And I think I'm pretty good at it. But, you know, friends with differences, like she has a circle of friends. Whenever I meet her friends, they're, the fact that they might have a difference is never something that seems to really, I mean, it's not that you don't notice differences. I think you do, but it doesn't have the weight of meaning that it mm-hmm. might have with a lot of other people, right? Like yeah, it's a characteristic. And I think that's like one of your superpowers is, you know, she had not just racial differences, but maybe speech differences or disabilities or anything else. And it's never mm-hmm. a gender differences. It's never something that is a thing, right? Like yeah, it's just exactly, a part of the identification, a part of that person's person. And it doesn't have any sort of negative connotation attached to it, which is, I think, I think that's true of Alex. I think it's also, there's a certain facility to difference that I think her generation has that I don't know that my generation did. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But I think that's probably one of your biggest superpowers, I would say.
Well, that's a beautiful superpower to have, Alex. It really is. And you know, you're fortunate in having the parents that you have, because they model that as well. And I'm sure that, you know, that's a big part of it. So, Karen, we started this with me asking Alex about her three words to describe her future. Mm. So now I'm going to ask you your three words to describe the future. When you
the
think
future,
about
not just mine,
not just yours, when you think about the future, what three words come to mind?
Innovation. A reckoning, I think. Mm. Maybe hopefully a returning to some of the things that are important.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. I love that. You know, the reckoning and the returning for sure to things that are important. And I agree with you that I think Alex's generation is poised to teach us that. And so Alex, my last question to you is, what can we learn from you? What can we learn from your generation, from Gen Z and millennials in particular? What can you teach us?
I mean, for me, if I were to take a message away from my generation or millennials, I would say, do what you can, you know, mm-hmm. Contribute what you can, even if it's the littlest thing, especially like for our future and for like any social impact groups or any sort of like, just do what you can, you know, even if it's little, even if it's like donating a dollar to a charity or an organization that you care about, or if it's, you know, creating an infographic, you know,
the designer speaks.
Yeah. you know, spreading the word, just do what you can. Yeah.
Do what you can. And I'm going to say, and do it with the empathy that is your superpower, as your mom says, because I think those two things together can help bridge, you know, all of our divides, whether they're generational divides or political divides or, you know, religious divides or whatever they are, just, you know, reminding us that we're all doing the best we can. We all need to just do something, mm-hmm. right? And just remember to have that empathy. So I love this conversation, and I love the relationship that the two of you have, and this is just so, this has just been so much fun for me. So I'm, now we get to switch it up and you guys get to ask me a question or two. So who wants to have at it?
Sure.
Okay.
Okay. So what advice would you give to my generation or millennial, or yeah, I guess my generation that's just starting to get to adulthood?
That's a good question. I think I would say, be true to yourself in terms of what you want to do with your life. I think that, you know, you're at a point in your life where you're trying to find yourself and determine what you want to give to the world. But whatever it is, it has to be a part of who you are as a person, and it has to align with your values. So I would say, don't ever forget that. And then the other thing I would say is just find what your passion is, whatever that turns out to be, and follow it. I think if you do that, then, you know, you wake up every day doing what you love to do, and it doesn't feel like a job. And so if the design field that you're pursuing right now gets you out of bed in the morning and makes you excited to go create the next, whatever it is, the next design, then you're probably doing the right thing. And if you're using that for good, then wow, you're really doing the right thing. So that's what I would say. Just be true to yourself, you know, find your passion and make sure that your values are always aligned with whatever it is that you choose to do.
Great.
Nice. Yeah. All right. My turn.
Your turn.
So my question is, I'm going to return one of your questions back to you. As a journalist, how do you get your news? What is the way that you get your news?
Oh, that's a really good question too. So I'm a news junkie. Okay. I probably watch too much news. I'm actually trying to wean myself off a little bit. So I watch most of the national news stations. Okay. So I watch usually at 5:30 in the evening, you know, here in Houston. I will switch around. I'll watch CBS, NBC, ABC, just to kind of see who's covering what, who's leading with what. I watch the cable news networks to see who's covering whatever in this way or that way. And then there's this really wonderful, online company, news outlet called All Sides, A-L-L-S-I-D-E-S. Mm-hmm. And what they do is they cover the news, where you can go to the website and you can see the story of the day as covered from what is perceived to be the left perspective, what is perceived to be the right perspective, and what is perceived to be right there in the middle. So you can literally go to a story. Today's headlines are about President Biden and the special counsel and classified documents.
Right.
So you could go to All Sides and there'll be a story written from the left, from the right, and from the center about that same headline. And then you can make up your own mind about, you know, who's, you know, where are the commonalities?
Yeah.
Who's covering it in this way? Whose bias is over here? Whose bias is over there? I love this organization. Oh, it's allsides.com. I've actually interviewed the founder of the organization. And I just think that it's how we need to get our news, because you have to be an educated consumer of a news product. You can't just go to any website or any blogger who calls him or herself a journalist.
Right.
And, you know, take their words as gospel. I mean, I know what journalism is. I know about sourcing. I know how you cover a story and how you present it to the public in a way that says, I've done my homework here.
Yeah.
And so there are certain trusted news sources that you know are going to do the work. And then there are others that you might not know about. So you just have to become an educated consumer. Yeah. But that's how I consume. And I watch local news as well.
Yeah. That's so awesome. That's really helpful.
I watch
Thank
all
you.
Of it. Yeah.
That's awesome. Thank you.
I watch all of it. I do. Well, I cannot thank both of you enough for taking the time to share your perspectives with our audience. My last question is there anything that either one of you would like to add that I haven't given you a chance to say?
No, I think we're good.
Yeah.
You think we're good? Okay. Yeah.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you both so very much.
Our pleasure. Really our honor.
Thanks again to Karen and Alex for joining us today. And I want to thank all of you, our Voices Matter community, for voting for us, because we are starting off the new year as the winner of two Signal Awards, Listener's Choice, a silver for one episode called It's Not a Choice, and then a bronze for the episode called The Power and the Cost of Owning Your Story. Thank you so much for being a part of this community, for engaging with us, and for supporting the conversations that we bring to you. Really do appreciate it. If you haven't already subscribed, please do so. You know how to do it. And then join us again next time for Our Voices Matter. Take care. Bye-bye.